you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you,
we're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here,
we're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near.
Reading from Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, May 16th. Being Monday, we read from our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. And if you were with me last week, we read, Effective Spiritual Leaders Elevate Their Followers Over Themselves. True intercession makes a huge difference. And intercession brought revival to a college campus. Well, today, with two special guests in the studio with me, we're going to learn about intercession made a difference on my college campus. Effective intercession is costly, and give me souls or I die. Oh, I hope you can stay with me for the next 20 or so minutes. But on this Monday, when we spend some time talking about prayer and reading from this book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders, I have two studio guests with me, an old friend, I guess a few years. You're not that old, Bernie, but but you've been on four or five different times over the last couple of years, and I've gotten to know you through your mother-in-law, the beloved Joyce Mankey, and you're her favorite son-in-law, and so it's been fun getting to know you through her, and she gets a kick out of both of us getting together. We're a bit high energy, and we start thinking about ways of serving the Lord or reaching people or putting on events or gatherings, so you've been a great inspiration for me and a huge supporter of the WLUJ family of stations. I think anytime you're emceeing an event or involved with Businessmen in Christ or other things, you always do a shout out for WLUJ, so appreciate that. But in the studio with me today, before I get 15 minutes into the program and forget to introduce my two guests, is Bernie Lutchman. He's from the greater Springfield area, and as I've mentioned, I've had him on a number of times. But another special guest is Doug Ryhurd, and I'll introduce him more formally in a few minutes here. But I wanted to make sure we focused on prayer and these readings today, and then talk a little bit about prayer, and then how prayer was instrumental or crucial or a foundational block in launching the Businessmen in Christ many years ago. And Doug, you co-founded it. Was that with Bernie or with others?
Yes, Bernie is right there pretty much from day one.
Okay, Bernie has his fingers in many different ministries. And
boy, he does.
He's one of those Christian shakers and movers, always involved in different things, a man after my own heart. So we're going to turn to our book. We're in chapter 3, and we're going to begin with the section, Intercession Made a Difference on My College Campus, page 38, for those of you that are joining us, for those of you that will read along with us. And we do have copies of this book at our Springfield studio here, 600 West Mason Street in Springfield, also at our Marketplace Mall studio, the Great News Media studio, right between Lens Crafters and Old Navy. But we're in chapter 3, Pray for Those You Serve is the title of chapter 3, and we're on page 38. So Bernie, thank you for joining me today. Also, thank you, Doug, for being a part of today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you very much for having us.
Sure, sure.
Thank you, Mark. The heading is, Intercession Made a Difference on My College Campus. I must admit, I'm very partial to the power of the intercessory prayers of Moses. Let me explain. When I was a young man, I was given the big responsibility of serving as the director of discipleship campus pastor for 3,000 Christian college students. Frankly, I was woefully under-equipped, understaffed, underfunded, and underprepared, and thoroughly overwhelmed. I was also a new husband and a full-time seminary student. Over Christmas break, I found myself worn out and frustrated with several other areas of my life. As a result, I experienced my first real crisis of faith. So, I began a 3-day fast, reading through the prayers of Moses and the words of the Psalms. My two biggest questions for God were, does any of our ministering really matter, and does prayer truly make any difference? One passage regarding the prayers of Moses answered both my questions, restored my faith, and changed my life. It was as though the rest of my Bible were printed in black and white, but one verse jumped out like it was written in neon lights. Quoting here, he says, "So he said, I would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them." That is from Psalm 106, verse 23. Had not Moses... Those three words in the middle of Psalm 106, verse 23, spoke to my soul. Destruction would have come had not Moses. A nation would have been wiped off the face of the earth had not Moses. History would have been terribly altered had not Moses. Thousands would have died had not Moses. Think about it. The prayers of one leader spared an entire nation from going into extinction. The intercession of a single spiritual leader changed history for his people. The prayers of one made a big difference for many. A few days after I read Psalm 106, verse 23, a guest speaker was to come to our campus for a series of special meetings. I shared that verse with student leaders and challenged them to fervently pray for the students in their dorms. They did. Their prayers culminated in a spontaneous, voluntary prayer meeting that lasted all night prior to the speaker's coming. Needless to say, their prayers made a difference for their people, and we experienced a serious, glorious visitation from God through that guest speaker. God listens when we pray for others. The more we pray, the more God works. God's greatest works are often in response to our greatest prayers. Intercessory prayer is a determining factor, especially for leaders.
Yeah, the last few weeks, I'm going to jump in here, Bernie, because we've been talking about the importance of pastors and the deacons and elders, people involved in the church, especially praying for the congregants, praying for the members, even with businessmen in Christ. I'm sure both of you, you've prayed for the men that are going to be attending, those that are going to be speaking. I'm sure you've seen prayer as needing to be one of those foundational stepping stones. I don't know if you've practiced this, but he mentions he was discouraged, a bit overwhelmed, so I began a 3-day fast. And how important sometimes that fasting, when you can really focus on prayer. Sometimes when you fast, because you get hungry, it's a reminder, oh yeah, that's right, I'm fasting, so I can be more in tune to pray. And anytime there's like a hunger pain, it's a reminder, hey, let's pray. And here he used that fast to really read through the scriptures, to pray very specifically for things, and that's when God really moved. Have you ever experienced that through fasting and being very intentional on prayer?
Yes, I've been fasting for the last 20 years, and I remember last year I fasted a three-day fast before the National Day of Prayer, and it was very meaningful. You know, fasting, if you don't keep your mind on food all the time, it's really easy. And physically, how you get into the fasting mode is that you eat a good dinner the night before, and then you stop around 7, 8 o'clock, and you don't eat until following evening. And if you do you start fasting the night before, you don't get hungry when you wake up in the morning, because your mind now, the reason for the fasting, as he said here, was to ask God some questions. And his questions were answered as he read through the scriptures. If you focus on God while you're fasting, it clears away the desire that you have to just gorge on food. Now, it depends on your health. You can't just go into a week-long fast without checking with your doctor.
Right,
so
right.
We don't recommend that, and we don't make WLUG liable for that either. So, go into it with a purpose in mind to draw closer to God, clear all the clutter out of your mind, and get into the scriptures and don't leave, and cry out to God.
Yeah, and have an intentionality, if you will. Try to have a goal, or is it to seek after God for clarity or for decision-making?
Exactly.
Or sometimes it can be even a joyous time where you just want to worship to a different degree. And as you mentioned, I'm glad you pointed that out, if you've never fasted before, then don't suddenly go into a 40-day fast. Maybe it's just you give up a meal, or maybe you give up your favorite mocha or soda pop, or
turn the TV off.
You can fast from the internet or from Facebook posts. There's lots of different ways to fast, but the goal is always to have an intentionality to seek after God or to grow closer to Him. And so, yeah, we highly recommend it. And that's what I've loved about this book, is it gives us a lot of methods or means or suggestions. And fasting, I know there'll be more to say about fasting, but I wanted to point that out because I think it's something that some people would say, I've just never even considered it. But it should be part of your arsenal of tools of growing closer to God. Consider maybe starting a fast or a weekly certain time where that's your prayer time and that's when you give up something.
But I don't recommend someone going to a three-day fast just all right off the bat.
Right.
Start slow. Skip one meal.
And for those of you that maybe take medicines too,
yes. You
got to be very careful. You can't take certain medicines on an empty stomach.
Exactly.
And so, like Bernie said, check either with your doctor or be wise about it. You know, still have some food if you're taking certain medicines. And maybe you can't fast from food, but fast from the TV or some other things, the internet or some of the social media postings that you'll do.
Oh, cheeseburgers.
Yeah, right. Hey, you're dabbling now.
You're getting too close. The next section begins with the title, Effective Intercession is Costly. Nehemiah was another great leader with a great prayer life. This seemingly ordinary man led an untrained and fearful group of despairing and desolate former slaves to accomplish a nearly impossible engineering feat in record time against constant and severe opposition. Then he helped lead them to experience a major revival. In 586 B.C., Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem and sacked the city.
Now, do you remember that, Bernie, firsthand?
We used to call him Neb.
I'm glad you got that joke. Yeah, you're so old that you were around back then. Yeah, good job.
Yeah, great school together and everything. When Jerusalem fell, the wall was broken down and the city, including the temple and the royal palace, were set on fire. All the survivors, except for the poorest of the poor, were taken into captivity in Babylon. 48 years later, in 538 BC, the Persian king Cyrus destroyed the Babylonian Empire. In that same year, he issued a decree permitting the Jews to return to their native land. As a result, Zerubbabel led nearly 50,000 Jews back to their homeland to settle. Some 80 years after this, in 458 BC, another return took place during the reign of Artaxerxes I, king of Persia. A scribe named Ezra led this return. This time, more than 5,700 people returned to the Promised Land. They began to rebuild the temple. Yet, the city still lay in ruin and reproach because the protective wall that surrounded it was still broken down. In the ancient world, a city without walls was a vulnerable target for thieving marauders and military invaders. The situation was desperate, and when Nehemiah heard about it, he began to pray. And he prayed this, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. This is from Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4.
And that's the verse we opened up the program with, and I think it's so true of Nehemiah's time, and some of us could even be praying that in the day and age that we're living today with all the things going on. You know, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I think there's almost application here. Now, I don't want to take scripture out of context, and you always, context is king. You got to figure out what was right. happening. But couldn't you find points of application? You know, we want to gripe and moan and complain about the situation, but have we spent some days really mourning and fasting and praying to God? Or do we see something on the TV and then we get angry and then we start griping and complaining? And I think there's kind of a life lesson here for maybe all of us. Yeah, when we see and experience certain things, yeah, we want to respond and react right away, but have we taken it to God? Have we prayed for those individuals in leadership positions, people from different parties or backgrounds or life experiences different from us, instead of just attacking them or saying, that's terrible? I think there's something here for all of us to fast over it, to pray over it, to bring it before God before we start griping and complaining.
You know, I like what you said about bringing it before God, because another application for us for today can be found in Isaiah when Hezekiah, who was the king at the time, and the city of Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrians, and Sennacherib was challenging them, and he wrote a letter and sent it to Hezekiah. Hezekiah went up to the temple and opened the letter before the Lord. And then he prayed and said, Lord, look what he's going to do to you. Hmm. You know, and he prayed and prayed. And he was a broken man. The city was under distress. They had no food and that sort of thing. And when he prayed and woke up the next morning, 185 soldiers were dead from the enemy. And the application for today is not 185,000 soldiers dead, but the fact that we can take our request before the Lord, say we have a situation and that comes in the mail, a bad medical report or a bill that's way over our head, take it before the Lord. Literally, take it before the Lord. How am I going to pay this? How am I going to work my way through this medical situation here? Would you give me some strength? Would you give me some guidance and direction? And I think basically that's similar to what Nehemiah was talking about here when he said he mourned that he was a broken man. And he fasted, refrained from the worldly things, and then he prayed and he appealed to heaven. And when we do something like that, the Lord gives us the victory.
Mark, that's such a great observation, and thank you, Bernie, for bringing that to light, because God is real.
Yes.
Jesus is real, and the Holy Spirit is real. And so when we talk to them through prayer and ask for guidance, God will answer. We may not know exactly what the answer is or what the timing of it might be, but it's definitely a relief and a place to go.
Amen.
And I like that Nehemiah here is being transparent. You know, sometimes we have that Christian faith out in the public, but here he sat down and wept. And God understands our emotions. We shouldn't just go in and say, oh, everything's peachy keen and wonderful. I mean, we do have the sovereign God that's in control. But here Nehemiah, he wept. He mourned, he fasted, he prayed. So I think God can handle our emotions when we're angry, when we're upset, when we're disappointed, when we're lonely, when we feel isolated. He can work through all those things. He wants us to come to him with our raw emotions. We don't have to pretend. He already knows everything that's going on. He knows the end from the beginning. But here I think that's the beauty of Nehemiah. He was transparent before the Lord, and he knew to go before the Lord.
Amen. Returning to our reading from Effective Intercession is Costly.
Yeah, I kind of derailed the things where we had a little ad-lib and some sharing in there, but I thought it was really important to talk about Nehemiah. But yeah, this is closing out this section.
Notice his admission. When I heard these things, I sat and wept. The plight of Jerusalem so consumed Nehemiah's mind and heart that he could do nothing other than weep and pray. He shared deeply in the hearting of God for his people in Jerusalem, through a ministry of tears. Spiritual leadership takes on great power and authority when leaders so tightly link their heart with God's that it beats in rhythm with his and they feel his burdens. Often, tears will be the result.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Lord's Prayer, you know, when we're petitioning God, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts. It's petitioning, it's seeking after God, and God will always answer. I can't think of the verse offhand, but when our will lines up with His will, of course He's going to answer the things, and that's always the key of when you read Scripture, is discerning or finding out what is God's will. Right. And really praying according to His will, and He will answer those things. And that's what Nehemiah did. He ached over the disobedience and what was going on in Israel at the time. And so when he sought after God, he had God's heart, and he knew to go to God. And right. I think that's, again, another life lesson for all of us. Are we in tune with God enough to know how to have a burden for the things that burden Him?
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're almost out of time here. I guess we have unlimited time till God brings us home, but I wanted to talk a little more about your faith journey and testimony and Businessmen in Christ. It's an active ministry here in Springfield that's been used of God for how many, 20, many years?
Almost 20. We're beginning our 20th year.
Okay, 20th year. So if I could maybe have you back for Testimony Tuesday, we could share some of your faith journey and life story and how God is using Businessmen in Christ in the Springfield area. And I know guys drive in from other communities, but it's been housed here for almost 20 years, and you both are co-founders and involved in that great ministry. So I hope, listener, you can join us tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. We'll get some testimony time in and learn about Businessmen in Christ, and we'll see where the Lord leads. So that's tomorrow, 7:32 a.m. or the 7:32 p.m. re-airing. For our great Indiana listeners, that's 8:32 a.m. and p.m. And so join us for the Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Today's program, along with tomorrow's, and for that matter, the last 12 years, are all archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org. You can click on the Mark and Friends tab, and then I think the past 12 years, you can click on the various links, and you can hear some of my interview with Bernie from past years and some of the various topics of people that we've had on. So that's wluj.org or greatnewsradio.org. And if you'd like to pick up a copy of this great book, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early, it's available for $10. You can't get it any cheaper. We have them at the Springfield studio here on 600 West Mason Street, also at the Great News Media Studios in Champaign at Marketplace Mall. So stop in, say hi, pick up your book. And by the way, on May 21st here, there's the open house, and we have some great gifts and giveaways and prizes, and I think we're getting Butch to make his world-famous Italian beef. So you don't want to miss out on that. 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, May 21st. So put it on your calendar and come on out, meet with the staff, and you'll have a great time. So I hope you can make it out, put it on your calendar. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Bernie Lutchman, and Doug Reichard with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.